thing I want to share with you. I need to grab my easel here. If you'll excuse me for just a minute. In the first worship service, my sermon was 40 minutes long, but I don't have that much time. So I'm going to try and be much briefer than that. Last week we talked about the wise men as characters in the Christmas story, and we talked about how they brought gifts that magnified God, both celebrating through the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh who Jesus was, but also by drawing attention to him. Magnifying allows us to not only worship God for who he is, but also to draw attention so that others can worship God, which the wise men did. This week we're going to look at the shepherds. For many of us, we will receive Christmas cards this year with shepherds on them. Some will have a picture of Linus with a shepherd's staff, which is cute, but not even close to the kind of people that the shepherds were. Shepherds were kind of like the first century's equal to the Hell's Angels. They were rough folks. They were people who lived outside for most of the year. They lived off the land. They did not live in community much. And they spent time fighting off wild animals. They were a little rough around the edges. They didn't shave every day. They didn't bathe every day. They didn't change every day. And they were so known to be dishonest that they weren't even legally allowed to be called as witnesses in a court case. Shepherds are not the cute people that you see on Christmas cards. They were tough, rough men. They also were boys. Because many times a family who was wealthy didn't want to be out in the fields themselves any more than we want to live outside overnight for many, many, many nights in a row. And so, like many chores, it would get passed down. And it would get passed down from the oldest to the youngest. And so when Samuel came looking for Jesse's sons, and he'd gone through all of them, every one of them were there except the youngest. And where was the youngest son, David? Out in the fields with the sheep. Now, he was probably with a bunch of hired hands, because when you were a sheep owner, you oftentimes had quite a few sheep. For example, Job had 14,000 sheep. That's quite a few sheep to watch, isn't it? When Solomon sacrificed for the glory of God at the opening of the temple, he sacrificed 120,000 sheep. That was a small amount in the royal herd. So while there were a lot of shepherds, they had a lot of responsibility, and they were a little rough around the edges. Interesting that God would pick them to reveal his message to them. And I want to show you a pattern, an important spiritual pattern that happens a lot in Scripture and in our lives. And that's this. God shows us something, which is called revelation. Whenever God shows us something, it's called revelation. Because what is hidden is now revealed. God shows us something about himself. Oftentimes in that act of revelation is some form of worship that happens. You can watch this in different stories in Scripture. And then, as a response to that, we are asked to take a look. We are asked to investigate. We are asked to become a part of that in some way. And that often leads to another act of worship. If you'll look with me in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds, it says, were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Did we skip one? We can go back to. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. By the way, these were some pretty tough guys. The scripture says that when David was a shepherd, he fought both a lion and a bear. So that gives us some clue that if we see an angel, it's going to shake us up just a little bit. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. Here's the news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So here's the revelation. God has sent his son as a baby, Savior to the world. As a response to that revelation, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests, an act of worship. In response, glorifying God for what he's done here. So God shows himself. And then, remembering who these people are. Shepherds were not the sharpest stick in the basket, folks. This is one reason why they were shepherds. When the angels had left them, and the... Did we skip something again? When the angels had left them, it's higher up. Yeah, one more. When the angels had left them and... Can you go to the next slide? Something's out of... We got a gremlin this morning, huh? Somehow it skipped there. I'll read it to you. In Luke chapter 2, it says, let's go to Bethlehem. When the angels had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So here are these guys, and God reveals something to them. The Savior's born. And they say in response, we need to go and see this thing which God has done. Now this is a pattern in Scripture, and a very important one. And here's what happens. God shows us something about himself, and then he asks us in response to in some way investigate or look or seek or apply to discover it. See, if the shepherds who were in the field had simply been told a Savior's been born in the city, and then they went on shepherding, how would it have affected their lives? But they were wise enough to go because they knew that there might be something there. Now, I don't know about you, but it's interesting that the angel didn't tell them to go. That may be because there are some people in this world that if you tell them to do something, you know what I'm going with this, aren't you? They're not going to do it. But if you just say it's out there and they think it's their own idea, wait a minute. We should go. Nobody told us to go. I know, but we should go. When it was their own idea, boy, that's something about us as human beings, isn't it? Let's go. And they went. And look what happened. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. By the way, are these the first people that you want to see and your baby to see after you've just had a newborn? Rough, smelly, dishonest, disreputable shepherd types. Oh, look, honey, who God sent? And it says that... Can you go up one slide? So they heard off and found Mary and Joseph, the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the Lord had done. what shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now check this out. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. You see, when they went out to see what God had told them, they discovered that everything God said was true. And it invoked in them an act of worship. They returned praising God because everything that God said was true. You and I have been given more revelation than we can ever understand in a lifetime in His Word. Ever. And Jesus put it like this. He says, you can hear my word, but hearing my word alone is not enough. The person who hears it and understands it and applies it and makes it a part of who they are, they're the one who build their house upon the rock. And when the storms come, the house survives. But the person who just hears it and then doesn't do anything about it, doesn't seek, doesn't try and understand, doesn't try and discover, doesn't try and be a part of any of that, they're like the person who built their house upon the sand. And ultimately, what God's trying to tell us is this. The reason why He's showing us who He is because He wants to be in relationship with us. And to be in relationship is to respond to someone who shows you who they are. See, at night, my 5-year-old, he has a list. I'll say it's time to pray, and I'll pray, and then he'll be like, thank you, God, for Jesus and God and Mom and Dad and cuddles. And sometimes he mentions his sisters. The dog is always in the list. I don't know why. He's not a particular fan of the dog. He just always mentions cuddles. And I interrupted him the other night, and I said, Micah, I said, I want you to pray what's in your heart. Did you have anything today that bothered you? Yes. What? Well, somebody said something that upset me. Well, tell God. Did you have anything that made you really happy? Yes. What? I played with cuddles. Okay, you included that. That's fine. I tried to walk him through to understand that he was actually talking to the living God, not making a list. Because I want him to know that his God is constantly trying to interact with him, showing him who God is. And our lives are a response to that. Taking what he's shown us about himself and making it a part of who we are. And thus, the act of worship that the shepherds had was this discovery. What God told us was really true. Now, we have that sense in our heads, but all the time we come across something we're like, wow, that's really true, isn't it? God really will provide. God really does help. God really does answer prayer. And we have that moment. And it causes us inside to worship God when we have that moment. But what allowed all this to happen was that the shepherds took the time to go and look and see. And today, you and I are bombarded with information. I have more information than I can use in 1,000 lifetimes. There's a good chance today that if somebody gets in a significant car accident in Germany, we'll find out about it. And so we have all this stuff coming at us all the time. And when God shares something about himself and says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask until you understand. I want you to seek until you get it. I want you to knock until you have your answer. What's often missing is a a time to discover God. And he says to us, look, I'm going to show myself. What you have to do is seek and ask and knock. You have to put first my kingdom. You have to allow that to be primary. And when you do, everything else will fall into place. It's just sorting through all the rest of the mess of life to make that happen. The shepherds, who were not particularly religious people, had to go back and ask themselves this question after this whole process. I want you to really get this as we close. They got through this whole process of seeing all this stuff, and then when they got to their bed at night and laid down, they had to ask themselves this question. Why do I need a Savior? Because you see, a truth had been revealed to them. A Savior is born. And they went and they found the Savior. They saw him with their eyes. They proclaimed to all these people. But in the end, the question that really mattered for their relationship with God, the question that they had to think about that night and every night afterwards is, why did God send a Savior? And why did he tell me? And why did I need to know about it? Why do I need a Savior? And until they get the answer to this question, the rest of this process doesn't matter. It's why God told them that in the first place. And see, they had to go home, and for days and days, they really had to think about this. Why do I need a Savior? I mean, I realize I'm rough around the edges, but I think I'm a pretty good person. I take care of sheep. I help people. I get their sacrifices. I do all this stuff. Why do I need a Savior? Why? Well, but the answer to this question was the answer to their relationship with God. And you and I, when God shows us something, it's not enough just to see it. It's not enough. It's a wonderful thing to have an insight, to see something new about God. But to say, why did God show me, and what does that mean, and how does that impact my life? Why do I need a Savior? See, it wasn't until Peter denied Jesus three times that he really realized why he needed a Savior. After he really messed up, he said, I don't think I can fix this. I think the whole thing's hanging on the line. And then when Jesus met him, he said, now you know what grace is about. You've needed me all along. I tried to tell you all along you needed me. And now you understand grace. And for you and I to stop here when God shows us something is to miss so much of what God has for us. It is the coolest thing in the world that God would start with shepherds, because it says that none of us are hopeless or beyond his reach. And so, let's close our service with Angels We Have Heard on High, number 238. We'll sing the first and last verses together.